What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Good morning. Welcome. The most beautiful weather in Johannesburg today. Crystal clear. Not a cloud in the sky. Sit back, relax. I have a wonderful show this morning. As usual, we start off, unfortunately, with those who passed away during the week. There was Hannah Faye Ginsburg, Estelle Metz, Harold Giver, Dr. Martin Copens, Basil Schlom, Hinda Hilary Shapiro, and Linda Kay. I want to wish the respective families, Chaim Tovim Arukim, a long and a good life, and may they have no further sorrow. And also, just to mention the yahrzeit of the famous Gedolim on the 8th of Cheshvan, that was last Shabbos, which there was Rabbi Nochum Kaplan, 1812 to 1879, Reb Nochman Ki Harodna, the Rebbe of the Chofetz Chaim. Then on the 9th of Cheshvan, which was Sunday, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Shkop, 1860 to 1939, the Rosh Hashiva of Grodno. And then on the 11th of Cheshvan, which is today, Rochel Amenu, and as well as Rabbi Yehuda Leib Glass Chasman, the Rov of Stutzen, the Mashgiach Ruchini of Hebron Yeshiva, 1864 to 1934. Now, I also spoke 2 weeks ago about the late Barney Hurwitz, who passed away. And then on my show on Friday morning, this past Friday, Reflections of the Past, I had Dr. Jonathan Mock in the studio, who also spoke about Barney Hurwitz, because he said that his grandfather and Barney Hurwitz lived near each other in Mayfair, and then Barney Hurwitz studied pharmacy. His father became a doctor, and he also then studied medicine and was very involved at the Mill Park Clinic, where he met Barney Hurwitz very often and encouraged him to continue with his studies. Now, I just want to give a few facts about the late Barney Hurwitz, and I'm sure, I hope the family are listening in. I met one of the, I think it was the granddaughter at the dry cleaners the other day, and she recognized my voice, and she said, "Are you in Chaifim?" I said, "Yes." She says, "You know, my grandfather passed away." I said, "Yes, I spoke about him," and I told her I'd speak about him again this morning. Now, Barney Hurwitz was born in 1922 in the shtetl of Rakow, at that time part of Poland, but today Belarus. He grew up in a rural area. He experienced a scourge of anti-Semitism firsthand between the First and Second World Wars. He came to South Africa at a very young age. In 1934, he was 12 years old, and as it happens, his wife Leah, who later became his wife for 68 years, was also on the same ship. He could speak Yiddish, Polish, and Hebrew. He was well known for his love of Yiddish. He attended Forest High School. He then couldn't afford to study medicine for the lack of funds. So he qualified as a pharmacist in 1946. He registered as a chemist druggist with the South African Pharmacy Board prior to establishing his pharmacy. It was called Highbury Pharmacy. Now, the difference was then, today it's different, I know. When you studied pharmacy, you did a 3-year apprenticeship, and then you did 2 years in college. Remember, the college was across the road from the Park Station in Elof Street. And the reason why I studied pharmacy is then you can get paid while you're working, while you're doing your internship. And that's what helped him get through. I mean, the rest is all history. He bought the Rand Clinic, and later on he branched out to what they call Clinic Holdings. That's the Mill Park, which was originally the rehabilitation clinic or hospital for those who had been injured during the war, and also for the workmen's compensation. Other clinics followed as well, and he sold out about 20 years ago. He still retained his interest in property, and the rest is all history. He was a great philanthropist. He was a member of the Emerentia Shul. He was very involved there for years. He was also chairman for a while, and then later on he joined the Greenside Shul, and he was there a member for 50 years. So I want to just wish the Spector families a long life, and really they must honor and cherish the memory of this giant in the community who really, I can only say one thing, he played a major role in the advancement of medical facilities in South Africa. And he's survived by his wife Leah, children Charmin Rafi and Jeffrey and Arlene Hurwitz, grandchildren Justin, Michael, Jordan and Ashley Rafi, and Rabbi Ricky, Sean, Simeon and Jaron Hurwitz, and great-grandchildren Cole Rafi, Baylor, Eliyahu, Sophia, Ella David, Shana and Asher Hurwitz. Now, this week is going to be a very, very historical week in the history of the Jews, Israel, that on the 2nd of November, 1917, 100 years ago, we had the famous Balfour Declaration. And that is when the Lord Balfour issued a white paper where he said that the British government view with sympathy the establishment of a state, a homeland for the Jews in Palestine. Now, of course, this week apparently the EFF here in South Africa are going to have a march against the Balfour Declaration. I'm sure that many of them don't even know what the Balfour Declaration was about. It's going to take place outside, I believe, the embassy in Pretoria. And, you know, 2 weeks ago I spoke to Sue Jackson. I was on her program where we discussed the Balfour Declaration, which was supported by General Smuts, Jan Smuts, who was a very, very good friend of the Jews and also supported a homeland in Palestine for the Jews. And Jan Smuts also befriended Chaim Weizmann as well, because he was there in 1917, just after the First World War, when they formed the League of Nations, and he gave his support for the Balfour Declaration. But of course, many years later, the British reneged on the Balfour Declaration, and they took over from the Turkish. I'll come back to that in a few moments. I'll give you some history there as well. So we're just going to take an ad break, and we'll be back in a few moments.
He's called the Walking Human Encyclopedia, but here at Chai FM, you know him as Isaac Resnick. For a nostalgic walk down memory lane, catch Isaac Resnick Friday mornings at 9 a.m. And for the lowdown in the community, be sure to stay tuned for Talk of the Town, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Thank you. Welcome back. I'm talking all about the Balfour Declaration, which in 2 days' time will be commemorated 100 years since the Balfour Declaration in 1917. And, of course, a few years later, many years later, Britain reneged on the Balfour Declaration. Remember, at that stage, Palestine, as we know it today, Israel, modern Israel, was under the control of the Ottoman Empire, that's the Turkish. And, of course, Britain was at war with Turkey as well, because they just after the First World War. And I'm sure many of you remember, there was a very famous British gentleman known as Lawrence of Arabia. He was sent to Jordan to train the army there, which he did, and they were going to fight against the Turkish. The Turkish were eventually taken out of Palestine. I'm not going to all that history. And Britain took over, and they took the country until 19. They had the mandate of Palestine until 1948. Well, a little bit before, because in 1947, on the 29th of November, United Nations voted for partition, and where Israel would get, or the Jews would have Palestine, and the Arabs would have the other side. And of course, in 1948, David Ben-Gurion, on the 14th of May, declared the state of Israel. Now, just to mention some historical facts, which is very important, it's that you know, in South Africa today, they're busy changing street names, they're taking down statues, just to get rid of the past, the apartheid era, etc. But in Israel, everything remained. Even when Israel became a state, for example, the main street in Jerusalem is called King George Street. They never changed that. There's the British governor during the reign in Palestine was Allenby, and there's an Allenby Street in Jerusalem. They never changed that. There are other instances, I can give you many more. They never changed it for one reason. They wanted people to remember the history. Because once you change a name, it's forgotten. You know, there was a lot of, unfortunately, bloodshed before 1948. The British were absolutely anti-Semitic. You had a very a rabid anti-Semite called Anoran Bevan. I'm sure many of you may remember his name. And when the boat in 1946 came to the Haifa, the boat was called the Exodus, the British turned back that boat. They were bringing in all those DPs, those people, displaced persons from Europe who'd survived the camps, and they were sent back then to Cyprus for another couple of months, 9 or 10 months as well. So a lot of also underground people were hanged during the British reign. I'm sure many remember there were 5 fighting groups in Israel. We had the Stern Gang, the Irgun Tzvi Laumi. You had the Haganah, I'm sure many remember, the Palmach, and of course they were all anti-British. They were going out of the way to, well, they were fighting for their freedom as well. And a lot of the people were captured by the British, those in those groups, and were hung. I can't remember often. There's one particular person who I know remember. I met him here in South Africa when I was a young man. And when he went to Israel in 1946-47, he was taken prisoner and hang. And there was a very famous rabbi in Jerusalem called Rabbi Arya Levine, the tzaddik in our time, who used to visit all the prisons. He got permission from the British governor to visit all the prisons to see all those who had been taken captive and who were being sentenced to death. He managed to save quite a few, and unfortunately, there were a lot that were hung at a very young age. And of course, you all remember that when the Irgun Tzvi Laumi, they put explosives in milk cans, which were then delivered to the King David Hotel. And then, of course, the rest is history, where that was the explosives went off. Many people were killed because that was the head office of headquarters, rather, of the British government in Palestine. And if you want to add anything, please, You can text 34519, or you can call us on 074-654-7335. Now, when the British took over, as I mentioned, from the Turkish, the Ottoman Empire, they were very, very ruthless. They restricted the amount of people that could come into Palestine. As I said, they turned back that boat called the Exodus. By the way, there was a wonderful movie made called Exodus, and it received really top awards throughout the world. And I remember well, and I've repeated this quite a few times, remember when that news came through, the late Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz, Zatzal, he was absolutely furious. He called, this was 1946, he called for a mass demonstration of all the Jews in Johannesburg, and we all went down to Balfour Park, where he addressed the crowds of thousands of people. Remember, Louis Rabinowitz was a captain, I think, or major in the British Army. He was the senior chaplain for the British Army, and he was involved in the what they call the Desert Campaign, the Battle of El Alamein, and he was cited many times, received medals, and when he heard the news in 1946 that came through, he called for this mass meeting. We all went down to Balfour Park. We were all dressed in our uniforms, whether it was Habonim or Beitar, or it was Bnei Akiva, but in those days it was named as Ashoma Hadati. There was the Bnei Tzion, etc. And he addressed the crowd, and then he was wearing all his medals, and he took them off, and he threw them on the ground. He stamped on them, and the Board of Deputies in those days were fuming because he insulted the king. The king was King George. But he made the following statement. He says, "My people have just come out of a camp, have survived the horrors of the Holocaust, and to be sent back now to another camp, another concentration camp." And that's why he threw them on the ground, and he stood on the medals. And many years later, when they nominated him to become the Chief Rabbi of Great Britain, to succeed Sir Israel Brodie, few voted against him because he insulted the Queen. And he wrote a letter to the Queen explaining the situation, and the Queen actually wrote back a letter to him, and she said she had she held nothing against him. He did what his conscience called for. Remember his famous quotation, "I will not sacrifice my principles on the altar of expediency." That was Louis Rabinowitz. And of course, he, when it came to the voting, he lost by one vote. And when the announcement was made, it was Chief Rabbi Lord, later became Lord Emmanuel Jacobowitz, he said, "Well, the better man lost." We are going to take a break in a few moments, and then I'm going to play another track from that beautiful CD with Oshi Tuchenhaf, because he is, as I mentioned before, is going next week or the week a little later to Australia. There's going to be a wonderful tour there in Australia. He's going to visit all the different cities, Perth and Melbourne and Sydney. He's taking with him a whole group of artists. One of them are called Black Yogurt, and it promises to be an exciting concert. Now, the first track I'm going to play is in Italian, and I'm sure if you listened a week ago when I spoke, I said, if only in the SABC, because they appointed two Jewish members on the board now, the announcers would please prepare the pronunciation of names or places in foreign languages beforehand. They should get a training. And then I got a text, remember, from my colleague in England, Hertfordshire, that is Hilton Tepper, to say that the SABC, the BBC rather, have a special unit where they teach people how to pronounce. Now, I'm not going to pronounce this because I may be saying it out of tune. I don't know Italian. And we'll hear Oshie sing it, and then you'll be able to hear the wording. Just one more thing, just to tell you that, you know, there was a very famous South African, now baritone, now living in Australia, a pharmacist by profession, and he, by the way, was so well known, he went to live in Italy to study opera, and he lived in Italy for 2 years, spoke fluent Italian. Now I'm going to put out the question, how many of you remember who that famous baritone was? He was in the choir at the Berea Shul with his late brother, and of course he also had sung under the direction of Gus Levy. He did a duet with a very famous lady, also called Doris Brash. So if you do know his name, text 34519. So we're taking a break. And then sit back and listen to Oshie Tukanak.
You're listening to Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. If you just listened, tuned in, that was Oshie Tukanak singing Memang Charai. I didn't want to pronounce it until I'd heard him sing it. Because, as I said, it's so important when you mention a foreign name or a foreign song to get the pronunciation correct. Then I put out the question, there was a famous South African baritone who went to Italy after he studied pharmacy for 2 years, spoke fluent Italian, and of course they got the answer correctly now from Gershenstein, and of course Bob Borowski, who's now living in Australia. Now, I'm still want to refer back to the Balfour Declaration, which will be 100 years on the 2nd, it will be on Thursday, and of course Lord Balfour was a very, very staunch Zionist. I'm sure many of you may not remember that, but he really supported Zionism to the hilt. And apart from his being the signatory of the famous declaration, which has not been fully recognized, right to the end of his life, he continued his belief in a Jewish national home. And a measure of his stature within the Yishuv was shown by the many tributes and memorial services that followed his death. A small Oshav, agrarian settlement in the Jezreel Valley, was given the name Balfouria in his honor. And as I mentioned, a famous South African statesman, Jan Smuts, supported the Balfour Declaration. He was also a very staunch Zionist. Many people may not know this. They thought Jan Smuts was anti-Jewish. Definitely, definitely not. You know, there was a time when they passed the Aliens Act in South Africa in the 1930s, restricting the number of Jews that could enter the country. And that was because Smuts was in the cabinet with Herzog. Remember, they had that cabinet, and when war broke out, there was a split, and Smuts took over as prime minister. But he was voted against in the cabinet when they introduced that Aliens Act, the number of Jews that come to South Africa. And isn't it ironic that in those days there was at the docks, when the boats were landing like the Stuttgart, those nationalist supporters, the very, very nationalist ones who were very anti-Semitic. For example, there was Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd, who had studied at the Leipzig University in Germany. There was Dr. Dungers, who later became a governor general. And then also there was the foreign minister, a rabid anti-Semite called Erich Low, and they held up a placard, said, "Jews, go back to Palestine." And today, what do you hear? Jews, get out of Palestine. We're taking a break, and when we come back, we're going to play another cut from that magnificent CD by Oshie Tukanak. I won't pronounce it because it's a long one in Italian, and let's see what it sounds like.
A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. We have a call on the line. Who am I speaking to? No, it's gone off. Right. Just to mention that was Oshi Tukunov, and I'm not going to pronounce it because my Italian is not perfect. So I leave that to the listeners. Now, just to go back to the Balfour Declaration, I just want to mention that there's going to be a worldwide protest. They're going to protest in Britain. They're going to protest, as I said, in South Africa and all some other countries in the world. They're going to try and get the British government to retract the Balfour Declaration. But, you know, Theresa May and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will celebrate it together. And Theresa May said, in the creation of the State of Israel and the upcoming 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration, which pledged London's support for a Jewish homeland. And it's important for people to know, this has been important, listen very carefully, that the very same international legal process which the Balfour Declaration was part also created the Arab states, such as Transjordan. Remember I mentioned that famous Lawrence of Arabia who trained the Jordanian army. And then there was Iraq, Syria and Lebanon, Palestine and what has become Saudi Arabia. So it also created that as well. So this will be this coming Thursday, and let's see what happens when the EFF go to march against the declaration outside the Israeli embassy in Pretoria. Now, just to mention that this coming Sunday, the 5th of November at 7:30 at the Rabbi Cyril Harris Community Center, there's an acclaimed documentary, Ingrid Bergman in Her Own Words. It's directed by Sick Boardman, and it's with Roberta Rossellini. That was her husband, Isabella Rossellini, and Liv Ullmann. It's a look behind the scenes of the remarkable life of a young Swedish girl who became one of the most celebrated icons of American and world cinema. I'm sure many of you remember Ingrid Bergman. So it's this Sunday, the 5th of November at 7:30, a donation, 80 rand, including refreshments, and you can call either Rene or at the Great Park Synagogue. It's 011-728-8088. We're taking a break. We're back in a few moments.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Welcome back. Just to remind you that we have the Reflections of the Past this coming Friday between 9 and 10. And if you tuned in last week, I was talking to Dr. Jonathan Mach all about the different Sidurim. For example, I brought and showed him a Marxa as well, a Vilma Marxa, printed in the late 1870s for Pesach, for Shavuot, for Sukkot, and for, I got the other ones, for Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, beautiful ones. Then we spoke about the different dialects. You know, if you go to live in, say, Germany, you'll get a Sidur with Hebrew and German. You can get what we call the Yiddish Sidur as well, where you've got the Hebrew and the Yiddish. I'll bring one in as well. I wonder how many of you, and then I spoke about the Sephardim, that's the Sephardim from either Turkey or Rhodes Island, where they spoke Ladino. Ladino is Latin Hebrew, so I'm going to bring that in, and if any of you have ever heard them sing in Ladino, for example, we have the benching, they have what they call the Bendigamo. It's absolutely superb. I hope to have someone in the studio who's going to speak Ladino and translate for us. And then, of course, there's another Sidur, which many of you may not have seen, which I'm sure you may have heard of, you know, in our own very South Africa. In the Free State, it was known as the Orange Free State. Of course, I would say 99% of all the Jews living there spoke Afrikaans. They used to deal with the farmers there. They were smosas. They used to go around selling their wares. Then afterwards they established hotels and little stores. And there was a rabbi there, Dr. Rom. He came from America, and he translated the Siddur into Afrikaans. So I shall bring that into the studio as well, and we'll read you some Afrikaans translated prayers from the Hebrew. And of course there was that famous Haggadah, also translated by the late Roman Eggert in Afrikaans. I don't know how many of you have seen it. Beautifully done. I shall bring that in if there's time to read that as well. And of course on Sunday we have the Art of the Cantor program. And this Sunday I have the most unique CD that I've come across. Well, it was an LP which I've had converted to a CD going back to the 1930s. It's been digitalized. And you're going to have chazonas like you've never heard before. This is definitely the genuine, true, traditional chazonas. And amongst one of the chazonim is a chazon called Moshele Surkis, who is a blind chazon in the United States, who was in the United States. Remember here in South Africa, we had in Cape Town also a blind chazon. I'm sure many of you remember him. I won't mention his name now. Let's see if any of our listeners know. You can text 34519. What was the famous chazon in Cape Town who was blind from the age of birth, and he could sing the whole of every mafta? He could do the whole of every service, whether it was Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, although he wasn't allowed to because he had an impediment, he was blind. But he taught hundreds of bar mitzvah boys. If you don't know his name, please text 34519. We have a few minutes left. So I'm going to play out now with the last track from Oshi Tuchenhaft. A track for Yesterday I Was Young. Welcome back. I put out the question, who was the blind chazon in Cape Town? Of course, it was Avraham Immerman, and I got a text now from my good friend in England, Hilton. Thank you, Hilton, for that. Just to thank Craig for controlling. Have a wonderful day. As I said, the weather is crystal clear in Johannesburg. Enjoy the week, and thanks for listening.